Last year, because of you, Preborn's network of clinics saw over 58,000 babies saved. Thank you to all who made this possible. Let's celebrate these precious babies. Dominique really struggled with her faith when she found out she was pregnant. She didn't know how she could carry her baby to term, but she called on God for help and asked for a sign. That's when she ran into who she calls her guardian angel on the steps of an abortion clinic. This man told her there's a better way, and he walked her across the street to a Preborn Network clinic. When she saw her beautiful baby on ultrasound and realized that he was an actual person living inside of her, the answer came loud and clear. She chose life for her precious son, Javin.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, today is a very special day. We welcome you to Exploring the Word, and Bert Harper and I are going to be in 2 Thessalonians, the New Testament book of 2 Thessalonians. So if you're at a place where you can turn in the New Testament, you can join us. And this is a very special day because of severe winter weather. We weren't live last week. We were all on pre-records. And, you know, I thank the Lord that Brent Austin and our staff could, you know, make the shows go. But I got a fair amount of correspondence online, and people were emailing, and they were saying, why aren't you guys live? But it really is like the kind of a winter storm you have once every 20 years, and that's why last week was actually not live, but we are today. Good to be back, isn't it, Bert?
It really is, and down here in Northeast Mississippi, when something like this happens, we just don't have all the equipment a lot of other states have in order to do it. And we had some people, well, we have snow and ice, and it doesn't put us that far behind. Well, you live north of us, I guess. And but it has been, it was a week of, you were out in Colorado during this time, weren't you, Alex?
Yeah, Angie and I are actually in Colorado, where it was, we didn't get quite as much snow, but it was, you know, 7 degrees below zero for much of last week. And I'm out here teaching, but I was going to do some filling in on the Hamilton Corner, and I will this week on Thursday and Friday. I'll be on the Hamilton Corner, but because of all the ice, you know, the roads were just about impassable down in Mississippi, weren't they?
They were. Listen, I didn't get out for 5 days, and that was hard for me. I did get cabin fever. I walked around on the place where the ice did not fall. It was really sleet. There's three that we get. One is snow. That's the easiest part. And then sleet, heavy sleet that melts, it just becomes a sheet of ice. But praise the Lord, we did not have what is called freezing rain, where it rains and then it freezes on the trees and the power lines. And so, praise the Lord, we had water and electricity and food. So I found no room to complain. I was thanking God of what we had. But Alex,
amen.
Also, we missed something else last week. Last week was going to be us promoting Preborn, one of the great partners that American Family Radio partners with each year. And we do it during the week, you know, of the 22nd when Roe v. Wade was passed, and now, praise the Lord, it has been undone, but still, abortion is very rapid in many, many states, and because of what is called the abortion pill, it is even prevalent and easier, and over 50% of abortions that occur now occur because of the abortion pill. But Preborn, a great ministry, they choose to help these babies be born. Matter of fact, we're looking at AFR sponsoring enough ultrasounds to save 4,500 babies. So we want you to be a part of that by sharing and giving. $28 purchases a free ultrasound for a lady, and then $140 provides 5 ultrasounds. And if you'll sponsor, all you have to do is call this number. And I want to give it early because this is not our question an answer number that we do, but this is the number that you can call and talk to preborn and make this pledge that will make a difference in 80% of the women who get an ultrasound. They decide to keep their babies. Now, that's how important that is. But it's write this number down. Pray about what God would want you to do. Be a part of this. It is 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396. Or you can go online at AFR.net and make your pledge there. So, Alex, let me tell you one more thing, and then you can say anything, and we'll get started on 2 Thessalonians. Since Preborn has started their ministry, over 280,000 babies have been saved, but also during that period, 80,000 women have surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. When you work through Preborn, it's not just saving that baby's life, but it's a gospel presentation where women, many times, they not only choose life, but they choose life for themselves with a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is missional, brother, and we're to be a part of it.
Amen. Well, and this is so important. And let me say that January is Sanctity of Human Life Month. And there are some things that you just can't overdo. And I think advocating for the unborn, the preborn, and they say preborn because here's the thing, if it's allowed to develop and the gestation period goes to full term, that's a baby human being that will be born. It's not merely the unborn, it's the preborn. And our Constitution, and certainly this goes with the Bible and our Christian faith, but our Constitution guarantees that all human beings have the right to life. And Bert, every time an abortion takes place, a God-given constitutionally protected right is taken away. And that's not right.
You said it, brother. And let me just share with you, that's what we all have in common. We were an embryo. We don't come from an embryo. We were an embryo. And that's that preborn, no matter at what age, after conception. And we believe that. The Bible teaches it. And AFR stands strong with preborn on this, Alex. And we thank God for it. So call that number. Let me give those again, okay? 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396. Or go online at AFR.net and file and follow the number and all the information for preborn. It'll bless you, and I think you'll help others.
Well, you know, along those same lines, and we're getting into 2 Thessalonians, and, you know, Bert, you've studied and faithfully taught the Word of God for many decades, and isn't it something how you can study the Bible, and you'll come across brand new things, and 2 Thessalonians deals a lot with the return of Christ, and of course, later on, we'll get to the mystery of iniquity in chapter 2. But last night, I was working on Hebrews 13, and this does get into where we are in our culture, because not only has there been a fight over the unborn and the sanctity of human life, there's been a fight over the definition of marriage. And in Hebrews 13, 4, it, very famously, it says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So I decided I was going to unpack that verse and look at every single word in it. And the word marriage, and I know this is not a biology lesson, but of all things, that the word in the original Greek, and it means wedding or wedding feast, it means to bind together. But the word marriage in Hebrews 13, 4, is the Greek word from which we get the word gamete. A variation. Now, again, not going to give a biology lesson here, but in either, you know, when a baby is conceived, there are gamete cells. And I thought, isn't that amazing that the marriage presupposes the binding together of two to become one? When conception takes place, there's the binding together of two gametes to form a fertilized gamete. I mean, and by the way, of necessity, procreation takes a man and a woman. Marriage, inherently in the very word itself, marriage is a man and a woman. Heterosexual monogamy is God's ordained plan. And even getting into 2 Thessalonians, which does deal with the end times, and we're talking about preborn and defending life and standing up for truth. Bert, God's word, last night it was 10 o'clock at night, and I thought, man, I am so excited about exegeting this verse. I got to call Bert Harper. But the word of God is powerful and amazing, isn't it?
It really is. And what you said, you read it again and again, and just we promoting reading through the Bible this year, and I've got the family plan of reading the Bibles that we gave away. Well, yeah, I got one of them. I'm taking it home and reading through the whole. I just finished the book of Genesis and reading some in Matthew and Psalms and Proverbs each day. It's a blessing. But going through that, and you see the value of family, the value of life that God gives. It is one that we need to stand on, and we do so proudly. And with that in mind, I don't think that's all from 2 Thessalonians, because in 2 Thessalonians, as you said, it's talking about the day of the Lord coming, the return of Christ. False teachers had come in and used the premise and got people off track. Honestly, I can say this, and I believe it. The second coming of Christ has gotten a lot of people off track by giving an exact date, by using that information to, I think, control people and to manipulate. So Paul writes 2 Thessalonians a few months after he wrote 1 Thessalonians. The correspondence was Timothy probably took that letter. He brought some information back, what was taking place, and Paul pens another letter to them. And the people who are with him is Silas and Timothy. Now, again, Alex, I think these are important people. Paul takes enough time to mention them, and he does Silas and Timothy. Now, Silvanus, that's his Greek, the way he said in Greek, but he is with them. How many times are we with individuals? That's what a family should be, a man and a woman followed with children. Grandparents being a part of that. And then also I would say this, like AFA and AFR and us partnering with Preborn, we could say AFR and Preborn are sponsoring this support and ultrasound for a woman to save the baby's life. And so what you was talking about, the meaning of the word gamete and how it's marriage and life, that's exactly it. Marriage and life, because what God told Adam and Eve, he wanted them to procreate and bring forth more human beings made in the image of God. And that is God's plan, and it can only happen with a man and a woman, and it should only happen in the context of marriage. And that's, again, we stand on that and we promote that. We say, listen, this is the best way to live. The evidence is in. Less crime, more money available for a marriage of a man and a woman with children. What a way. It wasn't man's idea, was it? It was God's, no. Wasn't it?
Well, as goes the family, so goes the nation. And let me say, if you want to help fulfill the Great Commission and help restore our nation, be a champion for family. And I just want to encourage all the pastors and those in positions of leadership, talk about the family. Encourage people to invest in their families, and that's always in line with God's word. But let's read a little bit of 2 Thessalonians. This is a kind of a short book. I think it's only about 47 verses, under 50 verses, and yet how power-packed it is. There's this salutation in the first couple of verses. Paul, Silvanus, Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's this opening greeting that's very much like what Paul writes. Then he says, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or suitable because of your exceedingly growing faith. He was rejoicing over that, wasn't he, Bert?
He really was. And we praise the Lord. Grace and peace. What a combination. If you want to have peace, enter into the grace of God through faith. It is an awesome, awesome way to live. We'll be back with more of Exploring the Word right after this break.
We want to welcome a new sponsor to American Family Radio, and I hope you give them your full support. That's Christian Healthcare Ministries, chministries.org. If you're like most of us, you're feeling the strain of rising healthcare costs. Well, good news. Christian Healthcare Ministries may be the answer you're looking for. CHM is an affordable, faith-based option to traditional healthcare that provides members the freedom to choose doctors without worrying about networks or waiting periods, since they're not insurance. Can you say freedom? CHM is the longest-serving health cost-sharing ministry and has been around for over 40 years, helping Christians pay for and pray for one another's medical bills. They're tried and true and have members in all 50 states and around the world and have covered billions in medical bills. Members not only get advantages from the affordability, flexibility, and reliability of CHM, but they also receive access to 24/7 telehealth services at no additional cost. It's no surprise that doctors across the country appreciate working with CHM, and so will you. Make the switch today by visiting chministries.org/AFR. That's chministries.org/AFR.
American Family Radio. Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page and watch the latest broadcast. Facebook.com/Exploring the Word. So come on, get ready for the ride of your life. Won't leave long face religion and a cloud of dust behind and discover all the new horizons just waiting to be explored. This is what we were created for. The saddle of your horse.
Oh man, that's what I was waiting on. And Brent knew it, Alex. He knew. Yes. I was waiting on Saddle Up Your Horses. Being raised up in the 60s when Westerns ruled TV, I mean, that was a great time to be alive. And anyway, I love that song, and Brent knows it, so he is playing the whole thing. But let's get started here. We were in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. If you can have your Bibles, you'll be blessed by the first four verses even. And we've already talked about verses 1 and verse 2. And again, he read verse 3, but listen to this. We're bound to thank God always for you. Now, I want to share that word bound. In other words, I am not constrained. I am freed. I am bound to share of your love for the Lord. Brethren, as it is fitting, because of your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. Now, notice what he's talking about here. Faith and love. Man, he had preached there. He hadn't been there long, but they knew about the faith. Now, he was instructing them further in this epistle, but he talks about the love and abounds toward each other. Now, Alex, how important is brothers and sisters in Christ to love one another? I just want to ask you that. How important is that?
Well, it's vital. I'm glad you would ask that. It really is, because in John 13, Jesus said, "By this will all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another." And then it talks in 1 John about, if you say that you love God but don't love your brother, you're deceived. How can you love God whom you've not seen if you hate your brother who you have seen? And then in John 17:21, Jesus said it, he prayed for the love and unity of the body of Christ, because it was one of the keys that we be unified to the Great Commission. So on and on I could go, but it is just very important. And I got to tell you, when you're in a church and there's just a unity of purpose and heart, and the Holy Spirit has joined everybody together in Christian love, Bert, that is just one of the greatest things. I really believe this, that because everybody's always asking, how can our church grow and what can we do? Listen, if your church is just steeped in Holy Spirit Christian love, I really think people will be drawn like a magnet. Don't you, Bert?
I do. Let me give you this. This is an outline. You can teach it. You can preach it. You can just say it. Love the Savior. If you love the Savior the way you should, you'll also love you will love those others, those saints that gather with you, those that's been redeemed saints. And it also causes you to love the sinners that need to become the saints. S-S-S. And so, Alex, the love of God. Notice these words that go along with faith and love. Your faith grows exceedingly. In other words, it's not stagnant. And then your love abounds. It's overflowing. That is what a church, you was asking about what churches can do, that's what they will do. And if they'll do that, it will not just be inward. It would work its way outward to share that love with others so that, listen to what happens in verse 4 when that happens, so that we ourselves, who? Paul, Silas, and Timothy, we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith. Here's faith again, already mentioned. Now listen to this, for all your persecutions and tribulations or afflictions that you endure. Now listen, when you love one another and when your faith is growing, you're going to expect persecution, difficulties. Jesus said in this world, you're going to have them. They just come with the territory of following Christ. And so, but guess what? People see that, and Paul saw that, and he was making the boast of them among the other churches. This church was becoming an example of their faith growing and their love toward one another. May we be that kind of an example, Alex.
Amen. Amen. I want to read 2 Thessalonians 1, 4, and then I'm going to reference briefly James 1, 3, and 4, because there's some words that these scriptures share. Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians 1:4, I'm sorry, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Now, the word often translated patience in the New Testament is really the word endurance. In James 1, 3, and 4, it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing or wanting nothing. Now, the word patience there is really this Bible word endurance. And what it means is steadfast beneath. It's one of those words that it begins with hypomones is the word in 2 Thessalonians 1:4. But Bert, we are steadfast, just like a building on a good foundation, can't be shaken, right? And they say that the taller the skyscraper, the deeper the foundation. I was reading about Cape Canaveral, you know, down there, the launch pad of all those rockets. They put concrete 300 feet down into the ground. And so the higher you're going to soar, the deeper the foundation must be. And in verse 4 of 2 Thessalonians 1, where Paul is writing about, there's two strengths that will prepare you for these two trials. You got persecution and tribulation, but there's patience and faith. And in those, you'll be prepared for those. Bert, hopefully nobody listening will have to endure persecution or physical violence or threats, but there are tribulations. Even the most godly of Christians, look, life is going to throw some tribulations at you. Am I right, Bert?
You're right. And again, notice, persecutions, people. And again, we're mild, you know. We have difficulties. We have that. But we have brothers and sisters, and the 10 most persecuted nations have been listed recently. Nigeria is at the helm of it. Iran is right there. North Korea, they're involved in it so much, but especially those believers in Nigeria right now. And so they're persecutions. But everyone, as you said, tribulations, it also can be translated difficulties. These difficulties are real. They're part of life, Alex. It rains on the just and unjust. Now I want to ask you, is rain good?
Rain is good,
yes. Is it bad when it's too much?
Can be, yes.
Okay. If you remember that, the parable that Jesus gave about the men who built their house on the sand and the rock, the same things happened to both of them. It wasn't that something differently happened. No, it happened on both of them. But the one who built his house upon the rock, stood. The ones who built their house upon the sand, great was the fall of them. That was significant how that was said. It didn't just say they fell. Great was the fall of them. And so, Alex, we build our lives on the foundation, as you said, that 300 feet of concrete as a rocket is propelled into space. They needed that. We need a firm foundation in our life, and the only firm foundation is Jesus Christ, the righteous, isn't he?
Amen. Amen. And, folks, I want to tell you, only the Lord knows what your journey holds, but when you've got the Lord Jesus Christ, you have got the faith and the patience and the strength and that underlining foundation of God that will, you can stand on it through life's persecutions, tribulations, and as verse 4 says, you will, in Jesus, you will endure. Now, verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Now, there's a lot here, but let me say this. In verse 5, when it says counted worthy, let me say what it's not saying. It's not saying that you somehow earn your salvation by standing strong. No, you are saved and forgiven, bound for heaven when you put your faith in Christ. The Son of God gave his life on the cross, paid our sin debt, and if you put your trust in Jesus, then that's how you are saved, born again, ready for heaven. But I will say this, Bert, I think verse 5 speaks about the rewards that we'll get, that we stand for God, even if it means suffering, we don't give in, we don't cave in, and God is faithful. And the word recompense, listen, God is going to reward the faithful believer, but God is also going to have retribution against those that persecuted his church. You know, there is a day where God is going to settle up all accounts, and he's not only righteous, he's full of grace and bountiful to us.
Amen. Now, Alex, real quickly, underline these. Those of you have your Bibles, underline these and expect these in life. The reason they were having difficulty wondering if they had missed the second coming of Christ is because of what they were going through. Listen to these words. Verse 4, it says, persecution and tribulation or afflictions. And then when you get to verse 5, it says tribulations again, but it says suffer. And then it says in verse 6, trouble. Listen, persecution, afflictions, suffering, trouble, they're part of life. And you don't have to wait to the, quote, great tribulation to experience this. Now, in the great tribulation, the 7-year period that we're talking about after the church has been translated to the presence of Jesus Christ, there will be greater persecution, there will be greater afflictions, there will be greater suffering, there will be greater troubles. But right now, they're part of our life. And so, Alex, you can't help but see that. And that's what Paul is setting up, is saying, you guys, yeah, that's part of life. And he's writing them, reminding them of this, that this is part of life. But notice what it says, verse 6, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. That's exactly what you were saying earlier. God has the final word. Now, listen. You remember when Jesus was talking about another one of his parables about the wheat and the tares, and you try to go through and pick out the tares and leave the wheat. He said, you're going to disrupt the wheat if you try to do that. But guess what he says? In the last day, I'll take care of that. I'll take care of the tares. I'll take care of those who trouble you. I will take care of those. And here's what we do, and I want you to respond. For the believer, I'm not saying we just concentrate on the sky by and by like some, but we do need to know that this life here on earth is temporal. It is temporary. Eternal life started then, but the continuation of this eternal life is in the very presence of God, where he'll wipe away every tear, no more illness, no more death. That's what's waiting on those of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior. So this difficulties with the words persecution, affliction, suffering, trouble, they're for only a while, aren't they?
Well, that's true. That's true. And do you remember that old hymn, The Solid Rock?
I love that hymn. That song was sung at my ordination service On Jesus, solid rock I stand.
Exactly. And do you know what? I believe that some of the words were taken out of this, because look at verse 10. I know I'm skipping ahead, but we'll come back. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Well, see, there's this lyric in there. It says, when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Okay? Like these verses 4, 5, and 6, all right, we can stand and we are found in him because of Jesus Christ, our foundation. And we are dressed in his righteousness. And he will reward the faithfulness of the believer who stood strong. Now, again, you're in Christ. You're saved by turning to him and putting your faith in Jesus. But then the rest of life, what an opportunity to stand strong. And verse 8 of 2 Thessalonians 1 talks about the vengeance that God will take on those who do not know God and who obey not the gospel of our Lord. Now, the word there in verse 8 of not obeying is not merely, you know, disregarding it or ignoring it, but actually even standing against it.
It's opposing, yeah.
And let me just say, folks, briefly, talk about standing or falling, being faithful or caving in. Nowhere has there been more of a abandonment of truth in some circles than when it comes to the definition of marriage and sexuality and gender. And let me say, I've corresponded with people, and I've privately talked with pastors who were struggling, and they said, look, if I dared to preach a sermon on traditional marriage, I have one or two parishioners that would, you know, be after me. I said, well, that's all the more reason to do it.
Amen.
You know? And so, look, regardless of popular opinion, regardless of pushback from those like verse 8 that obey not the gospel of our God, speak truth.
Amen.
Stand strong.
Speak
I know
the
that
truth.
There's a cost, but it's worth it.
It is, Alex. Well said. Let me say one thing about verse 7, because you've read through 10. We've covered it well. And we're about to go to a break. And by the way, that phone number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Alex and I haven't talked with you in more than a week. We'd love to talk with you today.
We miss you.
Yeah, but verse 7, let me just read this. And to give you who are troubled, rest. Alex, hallelujah. Even in the midst of the persecution, the affliction, the suffering, the trouble, we can have rest in Jesus Christ. And one day we'll have that complete rest when he comes back and gathers us to be with him forever. Again, make that phone call, 888-589-8840.
We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. We're going to go to phone calls. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll do our best to give an answer to any and all Bible questions. The number is 888-589-8840. And because we were all out last week due to the winter storm, we really have missed you all. We'd love to hear from you. 888-589-8840. And Bert, it reminds me, and I'm grateful anyway, and I'm always praising God, but all last week I was praying and I was saying, Lord, thank you for this tool called radio, whereby we can proclaim your word, interact with people throughout the USA, and it really made me appreciate what we've got in this.
It really does, Alex. And then the internet came along, And our founder, Don Wyman, looked beyond radio and saw that we can have internet, and that way we're connecting with people all over. And we got our lines. They're doing, God's about to give the number, but it looked like, man, a lot of folks called. So we're just going to go straight to the phone lines, and we're going to go to Iowa and talk to Adam. Adam, thank you for calling, Exploring the Word.
You're welcome. Hey, thanks for taking my call. So my question, basically, I see this growing trend in Christianity of, well, it's in the world, but it's kind of gotten into the church about eating certain foods. You know, it's not good to eat sugar, wheat, or dairy and all these things. And basically, I know we have those individual freedoms, but what does the word have to say about kind of trying to regulate what we eat or what we don't eat? And then how does that affect the body, I guess?
Okay, we are what we eat. And medically, we do know, and I'm using this word, the gut really determines a lot of our health. And that is true. But let me say this, and I'll throw it to Alex. Everything should be done in moderation. That's the whole idea. Too much sugar, too much meat, too much. And listen, now that too much sugar really affects somebody like Brent Austin. But anyway, we're going to, you know, Alex, you know what I mean? It is.
Yes.
The Bible does say we're free, but moderation, the Bible still says we need to do all things in moderation. And that's in our diet as well, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think really in terms of how we interact with fellow believers, a chapter that has been very helpful, I think, is Romans 14. Let me read just a little bit of this. It's talking about giving space and, you know, giving grace to others that are weak in the faith. One says that he thinks he could eat all things, and another who is weak only eats vegetables. Verse 3 of Romans 14, let not him that eat despise him that does not eat, and let not him which eateth not judge him that does eat, for God hath received him. Bert, I think the word, well, two words, stewardship and moderation,
yep.
Don't you think?
I agree with you. It is completely that way. And listen, I think we struggle, all folks struggle with certain things. I can look at certain foods and say, man, I don't know why you would eat that. But they look at me and say, how in the world can you eat that? And that speaks to that, Alex, it really does. And you got to go back to Peter. Man, he said, my mouth hadn't touched anything unclean. And mm-hmm. God talked about, what are you going to call unclean when I've sent it to you? And so, Adam, you're right a lot about that. But it's not. I don't think it's a place of judgment, Alex. You know?
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Fortunately, we do live in a time when everybody can look at nutrition, try to eat healthy. You know, I want to live. If the Lord hasn't come back yet, I want to be preaching at 100 years old. So I'm probably eating more healthy than I did when I was in my 20s and 30s, you know, bro?
Yeah, and it is possible. And with today's processed food, there's a lot of issues there. I don't want to go off on diet, but there's a lot of issues with processed food and how they're processed and what's added to it. And so what do you do, Adam? You do it as two things. And Alex hit them. That was good, Alex. Stewardship and moderation. Those two things should be in your life and in your diet. So thank you, Adam. Let's go to Texas and talk to Andrew. Thank you, Andrew, for calling.
Thank you. My question is, should we as Christians be telling unbelievers that Jesus died for you or Jesus paid for your sins if Jesus does not take the hell punishment for those who do not trust in Christ?
Okay. Did you get the question completely, Alex? Go ahead, then.
I believe we should be telling everybody about how to be saved. And I do think, if I heard the question correctly, I think Christ died for everybody. I do not believe in what is called limited atonement, that Christ only died for the elect. I think he died for the whole world. I think the Bible says that. And therefore, anybody can be saved if they'll put their faith in Jesus. And it's like Charles Spurgeon said. Spurgeon said, the more people I witness to, the more people I bump into that turns out to have been elected.
Amen. I love Spurgeon. Alex and I, we've got our favorites, and Spurgeon is one of them. And those of you that are preachers and teachers, if you don't have any of Spurgeon's works If you can get something, I don't care if it's one volume, get it. Listen, when Charles Spurgeon taught from a certain passage of Scripture, I want to just tell you, you can read it and you are just filled with knowledge. Alex, again, I agree. Good answer. I don't add anything to that. Andrew, thank you. Let's go to South Carolina and talk to Linda. Thank you, Linda, for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I have been curious about something for a while, and I've studied and read a lot about the Shroud of Turin and the image there, and it's whether it is actually the shroud that covered Jesus. But then I go to John 20, verse 7, and it says the napkin that was about his head was wrapped together and placed by itself. The difference in the napkin and the shroud, is it a difference in the definition of what a napkin was back then and what the shroud is? Are they the same or are they different?
Okay, Linda, thank you for calling. In the Passion for Christ, they play on the shroud, and it's not the napkin that laid over his face. And again, this is just in the Passion. I'm not recommending saying, oh, this is the way it was, but it was that shroud, that cloth that was put over his face on his way to the cross. You remember that scene, Alex?
I do. Linda, thank you for this call and this really good question. And let me say, this is an area that is fascinating. But I want to be very clear how I say this. And I want to quote a guy named Dr. Gary Habermas that is brilliant. And in fact, Brodmann and Holman just this month, January 15, released the first of three volumes. Gary Habermas, we've had him on the radio. He is a brilliant scholar on the resurrection, ancient evidence for the life of Christ. In fact, maybe Thursday or Friday, one of those two, when I guest host the Hamilton Corner this week, I'm going to have Gary Habermas on. Brilliant guy. And but let me tell you why I'm bringing his name up. Probably more than any other Protestant, he has studied the Shroud of Turin. And some years ago, he wrote a book called Verdict on the Shroud. Now, is the Shroud of Turin really the burial cloth of Christ? I don't know that we can definitively know, but and I've known Gary Habermas 30 years, and probably 30 years ago, he would have said, we're not sure, it's very interesting. The image on the shroud, as many of you know, it's very unique, it's a burn, it's singed, and he says that now he probably would be on record and say that he probably thinks it is. Now, to your question, in the John 20, verse 7, and it says the napkin in the King James, but the in the Greek, it's a word, linen cloth, O-T-H-O-N-I-O-N, othonion, if I'm pronouncing it right. But it means the linen cloths. So I don't know. The shroud is a whole nother subject for another day. But if I get Habermas successfully booked for Thursday or Friday, I'll let you know tomorrow. And maybe that's a topic we'll drill down into.
Linda, thank you for your good call. We appreciate that. Let's go to Virginia. Judy, thank you for calling Exploring the Word.
Thank you for taking my call. I am a longtime listener, but first-time caller.
Well, thank you for calling. We love first-time callers.
Well, you all have done so much for me, and all the callers that have asked questions have done so much for me. But I've never heard anybody ask this question, and it's been something on my mind. In Genesis 12, Abraham obeys the calling, and I'm reading from the Tree of Life version. And I really like this Bible. I've read several versions, but this is like the Messianic translation. And it says, Adonai said to Abraham, get out from your land and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. So later on, a few verses down, so he did go, but he took Lot, his wife, and everything else that he owned. So my question is, was he actually obedient or disobedient?
Okay, good call, Judy. Listen, that is good word. Now, he did leave his father's house, and then God gave him some more, I guess you would say, additional things to that. Now, he wasn't to leave his wife. You know that. I love this saying, Alex, and you know me, I'm love if there's humor in it. Can you imagine Abraham coming home after God spoke to him and told Sarah, said, pack her bags, we're going to leave. Where are we going? I don't know. How long is it going to take us to get there? I don't know, but pack your bags. You know what I mean? He said, to a land that I will show you. But taking Lot, was that a mistake?
Well, maybe. You know, in Hebrews 11:8, he's in this Faith Hall of Fame, and Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. So, yeah, I think he was obedient because over and over in the Bible, his faith is commended. Lot is going to be a mixed bag, you know, isn't he?
He is. He is a mixed bag. And righteous Lot, we've had a lot of calls. Why do they use that to describe him? Well, he believed God enough to get out of Sodom, you know?
Remember it said that the wickedness of Sodom vexed Lot's righteous soul. So right there. And here's the thing, folks. You can be a born-again believer, and your soul is righteous, but your life can be a mess,
yep.
You know? And so we are to live in accord with our true identity, aren't we?
We really are. We need to let our position in Christ determine those choices we make in life. We really do. And when they're contradictory, it gives a mixed message. And that's why you get a little mixed message with Lot. You really do. Judy, if we can't completely answer that because, you know, he was there and we know what was reported, but it was counted unto him for righteousness. So we do believe he did that which God told him to do. Let's go to Jacqueline in Mississippi. Welcome.
Praise the Lord. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you
Praise
for calling today.
Praise the Lord. I have to say this. I really don't know where to start, but I'm still laughing. You just answered it. I'm a new member, and my question is at a new church. And I made a mistake, or I didn't make a mistake. It's just my nature. I told one of the in a business meeting we were having, I was asked to be there. And I said, I love you. And to this person, I didn't know her from Adam's house cat. But she looked at me and she said, what love got to do with it? And something just went through me. And my question is to you all, because you was talking about Thessalonians and all of that. As a Christian, yes, we will suffer, you know, but I'm in this church. I know God sent me there. So how would you handle someone that immediately tells you, and they say, what love got to do with God is love? So I'm going to shut up and let me tell you all, tell me, what would you done? And I was laughing because your gentleman that screened the calls, he said, was she Tina Turner? And I'm going like, no, I'm serious. And he was just joking, but I thought that was so funny. But it is really hurting my heart.
I know
I'm
it is,
like,
Jackie.
Lord, is this going to be a test? And Sunday, I made a mistake coming from the ladies' room. I touched up in error. And she said, were you not told to never touch me? But keep in mind, her father has been, I found out, is the pastor of all these churches. It's a generational person.
Okay.
That's been there for years.
Okay, Jacqueline, wait up just a minute. Time's going to run out on us. And let us try to answer that. And Alex, she's to keep on loving. And if God's placed her there, that means you got to go through difficulty sometimes to stay where God wants you, doesn't it?
Exactly. And let me encourage you to read 1 John 4. And let me say, biblical love is to seek after the highest good of another person. You know, in human terms, we think of love in a lot of different ways. But, you know, 1 John 4:7, if somebody asked me, what's love got to do with it? Well, it's a command of our Lord. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. See, here's the thing. If we've been born again, we are to love the, like you said, this is a great outline. love the Savior, love the saints, and love the sinner. And so,
and sometimes, let me say this, and sometimes you have a hard time knowing the difference in the saint and the sinner. I'm just being real truthful, Alex. Go ahead.
So to the question, what's love got to do with it? Everything.
It really does. God is love. That's what the two attributes that come across again and again in every bit of God's nature is His love and His holiness. And He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And He says, I am love. And so we're to live that life in love, speak the truth in love. And Jacqueline, I pray that God would use you to touch that woman's life and that that woman's would be turned around to know the love of God that can be demonstrated to one another. We thank everybody for listening. Thank you for the phone calls. David and Joan, if you can call back tomorrow, we'll try to answer your questions. And we'll see you tomorrow for more of Exploring the Word.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
I want to thank our sponsors, Preborn and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Preborn Network clinics have rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day they save 200 babies' lives. But they can't do it without our help. Will you head over to preborn.com/AFR and sponsor an ultrasound? Christian Healthcare Ministries is the longest-serving healthcare cost-sharing ministry, helping Christians pay for and pray for one another's medical bills. Make the switch today and start saving. Visit chministries.org/AFR. That's chministries.org/AFR.